Welcome, foolish mortals.
Time to be turning around. If only you could.
Cause this here's the wildest ride in the wilderness!
Henry, what's holding you up? Let's get on with the show. We can't hang around here all day.
Ladies and gents, this is the moment you've waited for.
There's no turning back now.
This is the greatest show.
Now it's time for the WDW Beyond the Gates podcast with your hosts, Michael Hurley and Gary Aruda.
That's right. This is the WDW Beyond the Gates podcast, episode number 337, recorded from the D. Fauntleroy Studios in Kent County, Rhode Island, and sunny Southwest Florida. I'm your host, Gary, joined, as always, by my co-host and my cousin, Mike, down in Florida. How you doing today, Mike?
Hi, Billy.
You got a guest in the studio? We have Zach with us from Summit County, Ohio.
But that wasn't you?
Me, though.
Then we also have Rhodey joining us in studio.
Kristen just came home, so he's going berserk.
That's okay. How you doing today, Mike?
Excellent. How are you?
I'm not too bad. And like I said, we're joined by Zach from Ohio. How you doing, Zach?
Oh, living the dream, baby. Living the dream. Good.
Thanks for joining us. You joined us on our live stream, what was that, last week?
Yeah, I think it was 1 week ago today, yeah.
A week ago, and then we were talking a little bit how you had a trip coming up, so we thought it'd be a good idea to have you on to do a little trip preview, which sounds quite lovely. But what's new in Florida? Well, Billy, how's things going down there?
It's been stormy.
Stormy, huh?
Yeah.
Is it just getting to that time of year?
It's not even the afternoon. It's just been like these cells that have been hanging over Tampa Bay for the past few days.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
How's the weather out in Ohio, Zach?
Oh, it's awesome. Switching in the fall, it feels like. We were in the 70s today.
Do you like that? Are you happy
about
that?
Love it.
That's the anti-playbook. Well, that is the playbook, though, isn't it, Bill?
That's definitely
the definite playbook. You love the seasons. You need the seasons.
Gotta have the seasons, Pods.
What would you do without the seasons? Oh, be happy. They'd be happier without the seasons. But what do you got going on? You got some big news this weekend, don't you, Bill?
Yeah, I'm going out to Vero Beach.
Disney's Vero Beach Resort?
Yep.
You excited about that?
I'm stoked.
So since we're not doing your trip preview this week, let's just talk a little bit about it here. What was the how did this all come about? You were just fiddling around on the DVC website?
Well, you know how I've been talking about it for months. Mm-hmm. This is pre-COVID that I started talking
back
about.
Back in like February, you said, I want to go this summer.
Summer, like end of summer, August, for like a long weekend, mm-hmm. because Kristen loves the beach and I love Disney resorts. So I figured we could create a win-win for everybody.
It sounds like a win-win, definitely. Yeah.
So I was pricing it out, and for a decent room overlooking the ocean was around $350. Okay, it's what the price of a moderate is. And then Sunday, I went on Dave's vacation rentals website, mm-hmm. and a DVC owner was giving this thing away for $190 a night.
Oh,
so it was $380. It was $380 for the weekend, and it's an ocean view.
Ooh,
it was 38 points, and they were giving it away at $10 a point, which is ridiculous. Wow. So I jumped on it.
Yeah,
I jumped on it.
So you basically, as soon as you saw that, you text your pet sitter to see if they had availability, right?
Absolutely.
And then you got the Rhodey taken care of, and then you were able to go ahead, and then you were waiting on them to book, right?
Yeah, and it's pretty. I mean, it went pretty quickly. Like, I got an email the next day that said it looks like this is available, but we have to because it's within like a 30-day booking window. I put a deposit down. They said we need payment in full.
So that makes sense. Yeah,
I did payment in full, and then they said that they reached out to the DVC owners, and once they make the reservations in my name, they'll confirm. And next day, I got the email with all the information, confirmation number, everything. So, it was like 48 hours from takeoff to touchdown. Yeah. It was awesome.
You were saying it could be dangerous, right?
Well, I mean, if you look at the deal, Zach, have you ever looked at this website?
Yeah, it's something. Maybe not that one, but I've looked at some before, the rental places.
Oh, they've got some ridiculous deals going on.
I imagine right now, too, because these people, the points, they have to use them up, and people aren't going down there as much. So,
Yeah, because you got to wonder how many.
A lot of inventory.
How many overseas people have DVC? You know, the Euros come over and they do the 14-day, sometimes 3-week vacation. So.
Right, so DVC could make good sense for that. And then even just people that don't want to travel right now.
Yeah.
That have the points and they got to use them before the end of the year or whatever. I don't know how that goes. Well, you would know, Zach. You're a DVC owner. They expire every calendar year?
Yeah, so ours expires in October. We had, I think, like 21 points that it's going to be expiring here in the next couple months. So we're like, oh, use them or lose them. So
you're not in a position to roll it? Because
we were past the banking window.
Oh, because I thought during the COVID that they were going to give you guys leniency.
Well, they were, but these are from like the year before still, so we can't bank them twice.
Oh, I got you. So you could bank this year's, but last year's you couldn't bank. That makes sense. Right. Okay.
So that's part of the reason why you're going down this weekend. Okay. Yep. Well, that makes sense.
Are you using points for this weekend?
For whenever we stay at Boulder Ridge, we're going to use some points.
Gotcha. Okay.
That makes sense. Now, is that anything you've ever done? Have you sold any of your like extra points on the resale market? Have you ever done that?
We have not, no.
No. I mean, it's not a bad option.
It's intriguing. I mean, if you can't go and you can't use them, I mean, why not get them to somebody who can use them?
And if you ever want to cut out the middleman, you and I can talk sometime.
There we go.
If you're ever in a position where you're like, I got to.
Now you're being smart, Mike, because you're getting in on the ground floor. Like, Dave doesn't need his cut.
No.
Dave doesn't need his cut. Let's talk Zach and Mike.
You're that's doing for need. Sale by owner. You're making money on this deal. I can't give you 15 a point. I'll give you 11 a point.
I was going to say, Lex, you know, your $10 a point thing's down to $9 a point.
There you go. It's
looking even better.
I mean, if you were doing it through Dave, he'd be taking the 20% off the top plus the fees. Let's just cut it out. We'll split the difference. $9.50 a point. Everyone's happy. Zach's looking at his calculator. He's like, I'm losing like 30 grand on this deal. What, you got a hockey game on there, Zach? I can see something in the window.
Montreal and Philly's playing right now.
Oh, very nice.
Philly's up 3-1, aren't they? Not 3-1, I mean.
Montreal's up 1-0 right now.
In this game. The Canadiens, Le Habiton. What else is new? Anything anyone else wants to talk about, or should we get into our unofficial beer sponsor of the week this week?
We need a fourth tomorrow for Sarah Bay, if any of you guys are interested.
Oh, what time is it after 9 p.m.?
12:20 p.m. we're playing.
I don't think my plane gets
there. You're not going to make it there.
She won't make it to the gate.
I mean, could you switch your flight early, first thing in the morning?
Get down there and
play some golf? No, that's true.
Yeah.
Be a guest, Mr. Hurley plus guest. He'd come out and drum you too, Mike. He'd come out with his, I don't play. I play like once a week. He'd shoot like 77.
I know. He's one of those.
Sandbagger. I'm a 16.5 index. Need
5 shots of side pots.
I got lucky.
Yeah, good luck. My first time playing. Well, do you have? It looks like you have some kind of beverage, Zach. Do you have a beer?
Oh, yeah.
Would you like to talk about your unofficial beer sponsor of the week?
Can't go wrong. Yuengling Light.
Yuengling Light Lager of Pennsylvania, America's oldest brewery,
Pottsville, PA. That's the only thing in my fridge.
There you go. Well, you can't go wrong with that. What do you give? Give it a score. That's one that you've always said. So
it's going to be a 9.9.
Wow.
Oh, yeah, because it's my favorite by far.
That's your Bud Light.
It's my Bud Light.
Okay.
It is my Bud Light.
You have to respect that, right, Mike?
As a Pennsylvania guy, do you drink this stuff from Latrobe, Pennsylvania? Rolling Rock?
No, my uncle does.
I don't like Rolling Rock. I don't like green bottle beer. Have you ever noticed the green bottle, like Heineken and Rolling Rock? I don't like how they taste skunked all the time to me.
That's true.
How about a Dos Equis, sir?
I will say,
are they green bottle?
They're brown, aren't they?
One of the Mexican beers are green bottle, though.
Yuengling's a green bottle.
Is it?
It is.
I didn't realize that. I think I've only had the cans recently, anyway. I thought it was a brown bottle. I didn't realize that. You would know. You're the expert. 9.9, obviously.
That's all we go with here.
So I have, this week, I have the Guibara Citra Pale Ale out of Cigar City Brewing in Tampa, Florida.
Oh, right, Tampa. Down the street from, local beer.
I ate at that restaurant at the Tampa airport waiting for my flight back to TF Green after the last Jammin's trip.
Yeah, the Jammin's trip.
So they sell, you could get these around here, obviously. I got this one, but the Guibara Citra Pale Ale, Cigar City Brewing, brewed with Citra hops. Let's see what this says. Our brewers feel the same reverence and appreciation for the traditional Latin Guibara shirt that we do for the Citra hop varietal, a hop that imparts notes of tangerine, lime, and berries to this American pale ale. So it's 5.5 alcohol by volume. One sip. Everybody knows the rules. This one's not bad. It's not my preferred style, but it's not too bad. Nice light pale ale. One sip. Everybody knows the rules. I'm going to give this one a nice middle of the road, a 5.8. Not bad, not great. Just a 5.8 right down the middle. That's like when you hit the drive, it goes like 210, but you landed in the fairway. You say, you know what? I'll take that. I'll take that. Especially off the first hit. You're out in the fairway. You got a shot. You got a shot at making par. This beer gives you a shot at making par. It's not flashy. Nothing too crazy, but you're in the game. But anything else you want to add here? Should we go to our first break? I think we should
probably take a break. Distracted up there.
Yeah. We'll be right back. Very abrupt ending there. We are back from break. This is episode number 337 of WDW Beyond the Gates with Mike and Gary. We're joined this week by Zach out of Ohio, and Zach is going into Florida. You're leaving as we record. You're leaving tomorrow evening, correct?
That is right. We're leaving at 3 o'clock tomorrow.
Hopping on a plane. What airport? Columbus?
No, actually Cleveland.
Cleveland. That makes more sense. Cleveland down direct flight, I assume.
No, we're stopping at Atlanta on the way down. Oh, yeah, no, there's the problem is there's not very many direct flights anymore with the limited
going on. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, so we're going to fly Delta down.
Delta. Did you get a good deal on the flight?
Yeah, we did. That's the other thing. I guess that's the other thing right now with everything going on. Prices are a lot, cheaper, but a lot lower than normal.
Yeah, a little bit. I kind of looked a couple times just out of curiosity how low they were. But Rhode Island to Florida was still in like the 125 range, which you can find it cheaper than that normally, but a lot of times it's a lot more. So that's on the lower end, but it wasn't super low. I was expecting it to be like $75 or something.
Yeah, I think round trip it was like $210 or something like that. So
that's not bad.
No.
Not bad at all.
Nope.
So let me ask you, is this like little weekend getaway, is this going to cause you to have to like quarantine for 2 weeks when you get home?
So
theoretically,
I talked to my boss and he's good with it. I mean, we're not going to do it. We were just down there a couple months ago, and as we tell people, we felt more safe there than we would go into the grocery store.
Yeah.
Being on property. So as he's probably seen, there hasn't been any reports of anything coming back from property or anything like that. So no, we feel pretty good about going there and, we're looking forward to it.
Yeah. You were there before the parks even opened back up.
Yeah. Like we
right
went
when the hotels were,
it was about a week before, they started opening up, I think Magic Kingdom and I can't remember.
Hollywood Studios, I believe opened.
Yeah. First. So we were there a week before the parks opened up.
That's crazy to think about that. Like how. It almost seems like they, not to say they never closed, but it just seems like now you're just used to them being open and the circumstance has just been this way. And it's only been a month that they've been open. Like a month and a week, right? At this point.
Yeah, I think they opened up like second week of July.
Yeah. Well, we'll get right into it. Unless, Mike, do you have any precursor questions you want to talk about here?
No.
All right. So, Zach, why don't you just run through, just do chronological itinerary, and then we'll interject with any questions or comments we have. But like you said, you're leaving tomorrow afternoon and flying out of Cleveland.
Yep. So we get there after our layover and stuff like that. We land about 8:45, somewhere around there. We're actually going to rent a car.
Okay.
So we normally do that anyway, but we're renting a car, drive over there. We check in at Caribbean Beach. We're going to spend the night there. And the reason we're really staying at Caribbean Beach is because the first couple of days we're going to go to Hollywood Studios and Epcot. And since the Skyliner's there now, we'll be able to hop on there and go back and forth. I guess the other new thing about this trip is, you know, I have to plan your park days ahead of time. So we had to plan our park days whenever we booked our resort. So we're going to be going to Hollywood Studios on Friday. And then Epcot on Saturday. And whenever we're over at Hollywood Studios, we're going to try. I'm not the biggest Star Wars fan. I'm not a Star Wars fan at all. But we're going to try to get on Rise of the Resistance and just see what happens. My wife really wants to get on it. So
you got to try. I mean,
you're right. Right.
If you're going, this is like your best chance to get on it without having to wait 9 years. So you might as well.
Right. Give it a shot. They have the boarding group sign up, if you want to call it that, at 10 a.m. and then 2 p.m. So we got two shots to get on that, and we'll see how it goes with that. But yeah, as we're not big Star Wars fan people, but got to see it if we're going to be there.
Well, the nice thing, though, if you're not Star Wars, but at least the new Mickey and Minnie, whatever, Runaway Railway thing, that's open now. So that's something that I obviously you haven't done yet.
Yep, we're going to try to get on that as well. I think I was looking like yesterday or something like that at wait times, and I think the longest wait I think I saw was like 45 minutes or so. But everything else in the park was like 20 minutes, 15 minutes, stuff like that. So I'm really looking forward to seeing that.
I wonder how much the wait times are inflated or how accurate they are, because a lot of times when you would go during normal crowded situations, you'd see something that was a 45 minute wait, and sometimes it'd be 15 minutes.
Yeah,
sometimes it'd be a half hour.
Oh yeah.
Rarely do you wait the full posted time. I don't know too often. The only times I feel like you wait the posted time is if it says 10 minutes. It's usually around 10 minutes at that point. But
and sometimes that 10 minutes is how long it takes to walk up the line.
Well, that's true too. Yeah. Like that Finding Nemo ride in Epcot, if it says 5 minutes, it takes 5 minutes to get from the beginning of the queue to the end.
Right. So, yeah, we're going to do that on Friday. We normally make a bunch of dining reservations, but we're not this trip. A lot of the stuff, I mean, there's a lot of stuff open, but not as much as normal. So we're going to play a lot of the stuff by ear. So Saturday, I mentioned we're going to go over to Epcot and check out International Food and Wine Festival. I'm not the biggest Food and Wine Festival fan, but there's always something there that you can find. I know there's a mac and cheese station there that I'm interested in.
Billy was interested in that.
Yeah,
too.
Yeah, I was interested in that. That did look good. This lobster mac and cheese and the buffalo chicken mac and cheese both sounded pretty good to me.
Yeah, so we're going to check out that.
I do have a question, though, before we skip ahead to Epcot, is what – now, you don't have any reservations at Hollywood Studios. What places do you like there normally where you would go?
So to eat at Hollywood Studios, there isn't really anything, to be truthful with you. I mean,
you're not a fan of the Brown Derby or anything?
I'm not. I'm not a big fan of it. I'm not a Cobb salad guy. So crush your spirits, but
that's okay.
It just doesn't do it for me. Normally, whenever we if we're at Hollywood Studios, it's getting something over at the boardwalk area, something like that. And unfortunately, Sebastian's Bistro is closed right now.
Oh, really?
But Sebastian Bistro is great.
Oh, you've eaten there?
Yeah, I ate there once, I think last year in October. But they got jerk chicken wings that are out of this world. I mean, they are really good.
I had those at the Cabana.
Banana Cabana.
They're fantastic, aren't they?
Yeah, they're really good. They're about as good as chicken wings as you can get on property.
The bar will be open there, Banana Cabana. Are they just not going to be serving food? Can you get the wings there, I wonder?
I think you can. We may end up doing that tomorrow
night.
That
might be like a little cheat code that you get the wings there.
Right. But why not? I think I noticed on their menu that they have that, like a chicken sandwich and then just some appetizer type things. So I'll be interested to see that. But yeah, it's it stinks that it's not going to be open. Sebastian's Bistro, I mean, because that food is really good. It really is.
Now, have you eaten at Mama Mel Melnick's?
I have not. No, we've been saying that for years to go there, and we never have.
You should try if you're there. I assume it's open, right?
Yeah. Maybe we'll see if we can get like lunch there or something like that.
Yeah, it's pretty good. I mean, are you a steak guy?
Yes. Yeah.
That steak is so good for what you pay. And talking about mac and cheese, it comes with some of the best mac and cheese I've had as the side. It's like pancetta mac and cheese or something. Well, I mean, what do you think? That's a good value, isn't it, Mama Melrose?
Oh, Mama Melrose, fantastic.
I want to say it's underrated, but I think everyone who tries it seems to like it. I think it's
I haven't heard anybody.
I don't know if it's underrated. I think it's overlooked.
I think it's just tucked away in that corner and nobody in out of sight, out of mind.
Right. It's not a high traffic area of the park. You don't really notice it unless you're looking for it, even if you are in that area. But
how's pricing at it? I know normally some stuff in the parks is a little more expensive.
It's not bad. Like that steak is like, what, $33?
Yeah, I want to say low 30s for that steak. Yeah.
But they have like a chicken parm that's probably in the low 20s. I mean, normal sit down for one credit prices. It's not anything crazy, but it's not cheap. But you can get cheaper stuff there too if you're really.
Yeah, we'll have to keep that in mind.
I think it's pretty good.
But yeah,
can we go back to Caribbean Beach for a second, please?
Yeah, let's do that.
There's a quick serve that I didn't know about. It's like an outdoor quick serve, and it's like way down at the end. I don't know which island, if it's Barbados or. And they serve breakfast and lunch, but they got a chorizo burger that like I would make the drive to go to.
Yeah, I think they opened that quick serve whenever they did all the renovations at the resort.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, I think you're right.
But I have not eaten there. Okay. We've stayed there a couple times. But
is that the Spyglass Grill?
Yeah, it's like an open air. Like they got covered seating, but they have.
I'm trying to find a picture here on the website. Yeah, it looks like what we're talking about here. Let's see if I pull up this menu. If this is the one we're talking about.
They have like four or five items. Pretty simple, but they have a chorizo burger. That's what I'm talking about, Billy.
Yeah, look at this.
Oh, look at this.
There it is. Chorizo burger. Grilled 6-ounce chorizo burger topped with crispy pork, provolone cheese, a pink sauce, and crisp potato straws nested on iceberg lettuce and tomato in a brioche bun, served with a side of onion pickle and plantain and yuca chips. $14.49. That is Spyglass Grill. Lunch and dinner.
Temporarily unavailable.
There you go. So it's more fabulous.
But does I mean, look how the Caribbean Taco Trio, Cuban sandwich. This place looks good. They should open it back up for this weekend.
It does look good.
I'm glad you brought that up, Bill, because that's definitely under the radar. But now you got him thinking about chorizo burgers, and he can't even have one.
Yeah, thanks.
All right, so we were talking about Hollywood Studios. What are you a thrill ride guy? You like Tower of Terror and Rock and Roller Coaster and everything?
I do all that. My wife's not that much. So I might convince her to get her going Rock and Roller Coaster, but Tower of Terror is not going to happen.
Not happening. Are you going to go on by yourself, or you just kind of let it go this time?
We'll see. We'll see how the day's going.
What the waits are,
Right. I think I saw today it was about a 20-minute wait or so. So if it's like that, maybe I'll hop on it. Yeah. But I saw they're not doing the pre-show for that right now, so it's you just walk right through the room, which makes sense.
Right. But yeah, they stopped a lot of those pre-shows for the attractions.
So
I don't know that. I mean, that park's tough. There's more stuff now, obviously, with Star Wars open and then the Mickey thing open now. But that park was kind of built on the entertainment aspect, which is all not happening at the moment for the most part, you know, so. I'm sure you'll get plenty of stuff to do. Do you plan on staying there all day, like open to close, or are you just going to play it by ear?
I'm guessing we'll head back at some point just because, as you said, it doesn't feel like a full day park, especially since we're not Star Wars people.
Yeah.
So, I mean, if we're Star Wars nerds or something like that, then yeah we'll be there all day.
Right.
But, I mean,
build your lifesaver.
Yeah, it's for the low price of $250.
Yeah. I'll take two.
So, and we'll see how it's going. I mean, as I said, the nice thing is you just hop on the Skyliner and you're back in a few minutes.
Yeah, that's very nice to have the Skyliner. You can go back, hop in the pool if you want, and then head back over.
Yeah, so we'll see. And also, like, the hours are shortened.
That's true.
So, I can't remember what time the park closes, but I think it closes at 7 or something like that. So
I imagine you still have to get there relatively early to try to get a good boarding group for that ride, right?
Yeah, I think we're planning,
despite the small crowds.
We're going to plan on trying to get on the Skyliner around 8:30 or so, just to make sure that we get there in time, because who knows how long the line's going to be for that.
Yeah. I heard something, I don't know what I was, must have been a YouTube video, but they're not like running transportation too much earlier than the park's opening because they don't want like crowds gathering
right
outside the gate. So they're basically starting the buses and stuff like 20 minutes before the park's open.
That could be, yeah.
I don't know. I don't know how the Skyliner will. You may want to look, because I don't know if the Skyliner even runs at park opening. For some reason, I remember hearing something like the Skyliner didn't start running until like 10 o'clock or something.
We'll take a look. I guess that's another thing that's nice, that we'll have a car there. That's so true. If you, it's not open, just over. Drop. Yeah.
Yeah.
So
do you normally rent a car when you go?
We do. Yeah. Yeah. I know we've taken Magical Express a couple times, but it just feels like every once in a while we'll get stuck there and it'll take 2 hours to get there. And it turns into a, I wouldn't say a nightmare, but it takes a lot longer. Yeah. It's a headache. You don't want to start your trip off the headache, I guess you can.
I mean, it took me forever to get the pop for the family vacation, didn't it?
That's right, yeah.
Remember you kept texting me because we had to go to Animal Kingdom Lodge? And
well, that's the other thing, too. If you get on the wrong bus and there's stops and you're the fourth stop on there, it takes a lot extra time, too. But sometimes you just miss one and then you're waiting and they wait for the bus to fill up and you got to wait for 50, 60 people to trickle in behind you in the line for the Magical Express. And then they finally let you on and then you got to wait for your stops and everything.
Been on there whenever we were the fourth stop, and it was just like, oh, I think whenever we were staying at Pop's Entry, and I think they stopped at Art of Animation. And we almost considered getting off and just walking.
Yeah. It's not that far, obviously, to do that. All right, so you good with Hollywood Studio? You have any questions? Anything else you want to add for that?
No, Bill.
Okay, let's move along then.
Let's move on, Bradley Heathwood.
So Saturday you're at Epcot Center.
Yep, we're heading over to Epcot.
And again, you could take the Skyliner over there as well.
Yep, and nice. That's a later opening as well. I think Epcot opens at 11 a.m.
Oh wow, I didn't realize that.
So we'll get a chance to sleep in a little bit and head over there and see what's going on.
Go to like Hale and Compass for breakfast. Take the Skyliner over. That's true. To Hale and Compass. Have a nice. Yeah. Got to have a breakfast. People.
We're big breakfast people.
Oh.
So we're normally a big breakfast, like snack during the day, and then a big dinner. So whenever we're there, I should say.
Yeah.
That's the way
to do it. I like doing it that way.
But
having a big breakfast, snack, a big lunch, snack, and then a big dinner when I'm
there. That's how you do it.
That's usually what I do. But
that could work. But yeah, so we're going to head over there and see what's going on with Food and Wine Festival.
Nice thing is you won't have to wait much to get food. Like that's one of the biggest downfalls of Food and Wine is waiting in the lines to get something. Now it seems like there won't be many lines at all.
And it's a little away from Food and Wine, but I'm really looking forward. We're going to try to have lunch at Regal Eagle,
the smokehouse
in the American Pavilion. So I've been looking forward to that since it's opened last year. I don't know if any of you guys had it since.
Negative.
No, I haven't been.
But
the Regal Eagle, they got some ribs and Kansas City smoked half chicken.
The reviews I've seen have been really good. So interested to see how that.
My biggest issue is it's not the most unique cuisine that they could have brought in. You know, the barbecue thing's kind of getting a little tired now for me.
Yeah, but I guess what else would you put in the American Pavilion?
Yeah. I mean, I always thought they could have done like a food court style where you have like New England seafood. You could have had barbecue. You could have had like California, like street tacos or something.
It's a taste like of America.
Yeah, kind of like different lines. Each line, you know how like the Harambe Market was initially set up where you had to go to one line for this thing? Well, they could have done that there and had each like cashier have a different menu and you could have kind of picked what you want. I mean, that's not obviously people like barbecue because they keep putting it everywhere. So I guess that's the way to go. But you're a barbecue guy?
I am. Yeah. That's probably my go-to.
That's your favorite?
Yeah. So,
you're not a big fan though, Mike, because you don't like the sweet sauce or too much sauce on everything, right?
Right.
Like as far
like
as
a dry rub.
A dry rub you'll go for, but they don't do that not much nuance in the barbecue at Disney. It's kind of
I think Regal Eagle is a get your own sauce though. I think they got four different types that are off to the side.
Well, that's not too bad. So you get the you can add as much as you want, but if you want it dry, you can go that route too.
Right. Right. I think that's how they do it there.
Well, that's at least a step in the right direction.
Yep.
I mean, it doesn't look bad. The menu certainly doesn't look bad, but at Epcot, I don't think I'd go out of my way to grab the barbecue necessarily. Just my personal opinion.
Yeah, that's I respect it.
But as far as like what you're saying, it's a place you haven't been, it's new, so worth checking out. I'd like to hear what you think of it after you try it.
Yeah, I always like to try at least one thing new every time. I mean, I feel like they're opening stuff up. Maybe not right now, but they used to be opening stuff up monthly, it felt like. So interested to always try some new stuff whenever we're there.
Yeah, and like you said, you're not a huge food and wine fan, so you're not going to necessarily want to like eat all over the festival to get your meal. You might as well just go grab a quick bite, get some ribs or something, or a burger.
Right.
What are you thinking on that menu? What's caught your eye?
So I'm a big pulled pork fan.
Okay.
And also ribs as well. Mm. So I think there's a platter or something like that. Build your own platter. That I'm planning on getting.
They might. I don't.
Unless it's off the menu again.
I don't. It might be. It doesn't show necessarily, but I mean, they have the ribs, the smoked chicken, the brisket sandwich, the pulled pork, cheeseburger, barbecue burger. But it does sound the North Carolina. Smoked pork butt sounds good. Chopped pork butt topped with North Carolina vinegar sauce and garlic toast. So that does sound pretty good.
Yeah, I'll probably get some of that.
I like the vinegar sauce.
Yeah.
I like it.
Yeah, so we'll see how much we can get done at Epcot. Well, I mean, a lot of the stuff's under construction right now, but
yeah,
you always got to
Spaceship Earth one more time before if they close it. Who knows if they will at this point.
I don't think they are.
Know. I know they indefinitely postponed it, but who knows if they'll just say we're going to keep it as is now for the foreseeable future, or if they're going to wait just another 6 months and then close it. But
yeah, we'll at least try to get on it one more time because you just don't know. But yeah, I'd have to do that. Living with the land, just the
classics.
The classics. That's what.
Yeah. Can't really go wrong with that. Is there anything? I mean, the shows are closed, right? Like the Impressions de France and all the.
I think they're open.
Oh, really?
I think some of them are. I don't know if
I wasn't sure how they were going to do
if the China one's open. I don't know if the China one's open right now, but I think Impressions de France is open.
Well, they were redoing the China one anyway, so I think that was
closed. That could be why.
Anyway, and I don't know. Did the new Canadian one open before everything happened?
I think it did. I don't know if it's open right now, but
you'll have to report in and let us know if the shows are open and how they're doing that if you go to any of them.
Yeah,
be interesting to see.
Now, are you going to walk through the China Pavilion with your face mask on and just look at everybody and say,
"Just fit
this
right
is
in"?
Because of you, man. This is because of you.
You read my mind. I won't say it out loud.
Well, the good news is none of the cast members working there actually from China because they got rid of all the foreign cast members, didn't they?
So they're going to have like Steve Melnick working in the
It would actually be more messed up if they had like all the Asian ones working in the China. Like, we know you're not from China. You grew up in Colorado, but
or if it's like when
China,
they'll all be working in Italy.
When you call tech support, they have somebody white like the three of us, and we have like Mao name tags or something that says Beijing, China.
Yeah, exactly.
Hey, thank you for calling Dell Technologies. My name is Steve. How may I help you?
Okay, Steve.
You walk in. You walk in, I'm in there, got my Rhode Island accent. Hey, it's Beijing. Wuhan. Uh-oh.
China.
Yeah, you don't want that. But, yeah, that is kind of strange. I guess you got to wear your mask everywhere, but especially in the China Pavilion, right?
It'll be just normal.
I saw someone on one of the Facebook groups I follow. They were in Epcot today or yesterday, and they took a picture at, like, 2 o'clock in the afternoon in the Germany Pavilion. And he's like, I was there. I counted 11 people in the Germany Pavilion, which is
wow,
insane. It's pretty crazy.
Yeah, I did see that. That's the, well, it makes sense, but it's the lowest attended park right now out of all three of them. But there's, just feels like right now there's not that much going on there.
Yeah, I guess if you're only, if you're going to go pick one and you have to, you're stuck with the one,
yep,
you're not going to necessarily go to the, with nothing else going on, they don't have any of the, like, the shows or the atmosphere stuff that, you know, the stuff that we really love about Epcot isn't even going on. So not a whole lot to draw you there.
Yeah, you used to be able to just go hang out around the fountain and stuff like that, but
even that, yeah,
not there.
Right. So what else after after the day, that your short day at Epcot? You think it'd be legal for dinner? You thinking something else after the park?
We may head over to Disney Springs. Okay. See what's going on. We do like eating over there a lot. So
what are your go-to spots at Disney Springs, if I may ask?
Oh, I mean, I think everybody knows it's Chef Art Smith's is one. Boathouse is probably two.
I like how you roll your eyes, yet you love Art Smith. You just hate that everyone loves it.
You don't have to go. Continue. It's fine.
Continue.
But also, like, I mean, if you go and get a burger, a deluxe burger, those are really good there.
They're not bad. I went there once. It was pretty good.
So deluxe burger's good.
Have you done Maria and Enzo's?
We've done Maria and Enzo's. I saw that just reopened the other day.
Oh, did it? Okay.
Now, I know a lot of their workers were sent home to Italy. So I don't know who's good. As we said, we talked about the China Pavilion, who's working there, who's going to be working at Maria and Enzo's.
So, buongiorno. My name is Steven.
Yeah.
How can I help you?
So
we're going to have ragu and bow tie pasta. $17.99.
So yeah, there's a lot of stuff over at Disney Springs that we do like. We went to STK for the first time.
What'd you think of it?
It was really good. Our waiter was really good. I think his name was literally Young Charles III. Young Charles III. That's what he went by. But no, he was really good. The food was outstanding. They might have had the best mac and cheese that I've had at Disney. I think it was one of their special menu items. I don't know if you can pull up their menu, but I think they had like three or four different types of mac and cheese that you could get there. But my wife and I both had steak. We had split mac and cheese, and then we had corn souffle.
Ooh, tell me about this.
So corn souffle was pretty much cream corn that they baked, but it also had chunks of cornbread in it, it felt like. I don't know if that's what it was, but that's sure what we felt like it, what it was.
All Do you remember what kind of steak you had?
I had the filet.
You're a filet guy?
I'm a filet guy, yeah.
Mac and cheese, look at that. There's all the mac and cheese trio. $39 for mac and cheese. You're getting up there.
Whoa.
Traditional bacon and lobster.
Yeah, so there's
the, are those like entree sides or is that a side?
So we split it. I mean, it was a, I don't know, we didn't even finish it, both of us.
Sweet corn pudding, is that what you're talking about?
Yes, yeah, that's it.
That sounds pretty good.
Yep.
Jalapeno cheddar grits. Oh, now you're talking my language. I'm a grit guy now.
Really?
Yeah, I like grits. Big grit guy all of a sudden. Where are the steaks on here though? Cocktails.
Oh, they also had like, they had probably,
I don't see any steak,
maybe seven or eight different types of steak sauce that you could get.
Yeah.
With your, yeah, there's your sauce.
Yeah, sauces we get.
No, it doesn't say what they are, though.
Pretty short. Where's the steaks? They don't have.
No, there's all the sauces, though.
Oh, yeah, there they are. SDK, SDK Bold, Aplov, Horseradish, Chimichurri. That's your favorite, Billy, Chimichurri.
Red Is wine. It over to the right with entrees?
No, because that's what I was under, aren't
you? Oh, that's interesting.
Huh.
Unless it's just a, maybe they took the steaks off the menu.
That's interesting for a steakhouse.
No, steak. Maybe it's just, well, they had, I remember when we went, it was just like you pick what kind of cut and what size. So maybe they don't put it on the menu because they're market priced or something, but you could get like the 6 ounce filet or the 8 ounce filet or the 12 ounce strip or the 16 ounce strip or whatever. So. I don't know.
No, it was really good when we were there. It was expensive. It might have been a one-off type of thing.
It is quite expensive. If I
yes, it is.
But it was very good.
Yeah, I was a fan of it. I didn't love the atmosphere. We also went for lunch, and I think it's more of like a nighttime dinner spot. I think the atmosphere is probably a lot better at dinner time, but
yeah, we sat on the rooftop patio when we ate.
That's cool.
It overlooked down on everybody.
That's cool. Have you been to Mike was asking this the other day. Have you been to Morimoto?
We have not. No.
Is that the kind? Do you like that kind of food?
I do like it. I don't know if I'm that much into it type of thing. Like I'm a American Chinese type of person, if that makes any sense.
Yeah.
I like it Americanized. I like P.F. Chang's.
Yeah, but they have that kind of stuff on there too. Like they got sushi and different things, but I was just curious if you'd been.
Just when you have a chance, YouTube Morimoto's ribs, because everybody said you have to get these. I'm like, why would you get ribs at a place like that? And I watched a couple videos.
You were hooked, yeah.
Oh, boy.
I got them from phenomenal. The quick serve. It was 3 or 4 years ago. It's when the Astros won the World Series. And I was watching the game at I watched the game at Disney Springs. I think it was game 6 or the game they clinched it. I was watching it at the bar at Rainforest, the bar that sits out on the water there. I was watching the game. So after the game ended, I was on my way out, and I was going by, and they had the quick
serve. Were you by yourself?
I was by myself, yes.
You tend to hit the soft spots by yourself when you're on family vacations, I've noticed.
It's a good move, isn't it?
I mean, I'm not going to argue with you. Right. It's just an observation.
So I was on my way out. I was going back to the bus stop, and I walked by, and I saw Morimoto, and it was still open. Like it might have been like 9:45, and they closed at 10, so I went in. And I said, okay, I get an order of the ribs, and they were closing up. And I think you're supposed to get like 3 ribs.
Yeah, that's what you do. Well, like, that outdoor street.
Yeah,
street,
and yeah. Whatever it is, $9 or $10. And they gave me, no lie, like 15 ribs. They just filled up this giant thing. There was so much. Like it was very good, though. Very, very good, if I remember correctly.
Is that when you got your picture taken with the chef?
No, that was like the opening weekend. That was.
Oh, I'm sorry. How many times have you seen Chef Morimoto?
Just once, and that was the opening weekend of Morimoto Asia. I was down visiting Mayderi when she was living down there.
Did you want to flash that picture, or do you not have it handy?
I don't have that handy on my screen. Otherwise, I would.
But, yeah, my wife and I got we got a picture with Chef Art Smith. It was like opening weekend. Nice. We knew nothing about it, and we just showed up, and we're like, yeah, we'll give it a shot, and. Been there, I think, almost every time we've gone back since.
It's a good place. Have you had the brunch by any chance there?
We did it once.
How
we
was
it
that? Once.
It was good. I think I had the chicken and donuts. But no, it was really good. Yeah, the brunch is good.
All right, so what else after potentially Disney Springs, what else do you think?
So that's about all we got. We're actually switching hotels
on
Saturday. We're checking out of Caribbean Beach, and we're moving over to Boulder Ridge at Wilderness Lodge.
Nice.
So we're going to be moving over there. We're going to be doing a split stay at 2 hotels, 2 nights each. So we'll get a little bit of a different change of scenery, which I'm looking forward to because those are complete opposite ends of the spectrum, Caribbean Beach compared to Wilderness Lodge.
Yeah.
So, yeah, Wilderness Lodge is one of our go-to places.
I did find
it. What do you like so much about that?
See that?
Oh, there he is.
Isn't that beautiful? All right, sorry.
Zach, what do you like? Why is Wilderness Lodge your go-to?
So not only the atmosphere, I mean, it's got my favorite pool bar on property at Geyser Point.
Mm-hmm.
God, you and Gary should be lovers.
Well, you know, like Geyser Point?
No, I do, but I'm like, okay. You two like are in complete lock cahoots step. For this.
Yeah, everything.
Like,
is exactly,
everything on this.
Yeah. Pretty much.
Can I go to Alex Smith tomorrow, Pods? Oh, I'd love to, Zachary. Yeah. Let's go, buddy.
But no, I mean, the atmosphere, the price point's good as well. I mean, for a deluxe resort, that's as
it
good
is
as
on
you
the
can
lower
get.
End as the deluxe. Yeah. Like that and Animal Kingdom are probably the two that you find it with the best deals a lot of the time.
Yeah, I just feel like whenever you're at that resort, you truly feel like you're away from everything else, even though Magic Kingdom's a 5-minute boat ride away. I just feel like whenever I tell people whenever I go to Disney, I go there to get away from the world. And I feel like whenever I'm there, I truly am away from everything. So
I could hang out in that lobby
for
hours, at that bar for hours, and even their pool, even though it's not like the biggest or the like craziest, I could just hang, like having the waterfall there that actually goes into the pool.
Yeah. Now this their what they call the quiet pool is actually really nice as well too.
Oh yeah.
So the one that's right next to Geyser Point.
Okay. I haven't been over to that. I know where I think I know what you're talking about, but.
But no, that's one of my favorite resorts on property. So I'm looking forward to being able to stay there.
Were you an Artist Point fan?
Not really. I thought for what you got, it was overpriced.
Gary, did you care to comment on
that? I wasn't a huge fan of Artist Point.
No, I'll say the lounge outside Artist Point was really good.
That place is fantastic.
So I can't I can't remember what's that called.
Roaring Forks. That's the quick.
That's
service.
That's the quick service.
The Territory Lounge.
Yes,
Territory Lounge. They have fantastic mushroom bisque. You used to get that was a staple at Artist Point, and you could get it at the rest at the bar too.
Is it still? Can you still get that at the bar? Is that
not sure? Not sure. I haven't checked in a while.
Very nice. I love Wilderness Lodge.
That's your dream, isn't it?
It is, yeah.
That's your number one?
Yes, definitely. I'm going to hit Zach up for some points.
You and I will get in the bidding wars.
Yeah, book me at the Copper Creek cabin.
We're like holding up our signs.
Can I have 11 point?
I do want to see what it's like inside one of those cabins. I haven't been in one of those before. But
do they still give tours of them, or...?
I think so. I think if you go up to the DVC booth that's in the lobby, that you can get one.
Yeah. Those are, I know those are very pricey.
Yes. Yeah.
Even, now you're staying at what's the one you're calling? Boulder Ridge?
Boulder Ridge,
That's just the regular DVC, right?
Yep. That's the one just off to the side from it.
What are you staying in? A studio? One bedroom?
Yeah. Studio.
Studio. Nice.
Yep. Yep. We're not going to be there enough to really need to spread out.
Have you ever gone with a one bedroom?
So I did growing up with my parents. We always got one bedrooms.
Love it?
Yes, it's awesome.
It just looks amazing.
It really is.
You get so much more for it.
So actually in November, we're going down. We're taking our daughter for the first time in November as of right now. And we have a one bedroom that we're planning on staying at Bay Lake and Boardwalk. But we got the one bedroom because we can put her out in the living room area, and we can be in the bedroom and stay up later, do whatever, and not have to worry about waking her up.
Right.
Where if you were in a studio or regular room.
Oh, trust me. I know how that goes. So you're doing Magic Kingdom on that, that last day?
Yep. Sunday, we're going to head over to Magic Kingdom.
So you really planned it around your proximity to your resorts too.
We did. Especially with the COVID situation, I mean, it is what it is. I mean, we've been there, we've been on the buses before, whenever we were just there, but it just feels like if we're going to do it, the best thing to do was to get or to stay where we're going to be going, on those days. So that's how we planned it around.
Makes sense.
The days. So yeah, we'll hop on the boat and head over to Magic Kingdom on that last day.
You got to hit up Splash Mountain one more time.
Right. Yeah, that's another one. Get me started on that.
Yeah.
But yeah, Sunday morning we're going to have breakfast at Whispering Canyon in the morning, right in the lobby.
Nice.
So yeah, we heard about on your episode last week. Yeah.
It wasn't.
It recovered at the end though, didn't it?
Yeah.
It made it recovery. Okay.
Yeah. The food's fine.
Very good.
The service was, and the server was great. The kitchen was slow and it kind of messed us up, but.
Yeah, I'll be interested to see how it is now because it's not very crowded in there. So I'll be interested to see what the turnaround time on food is like if the restaurant's a quarter full.
Slower or if it'll make it quicker.
Right.
They're not going to prepare a ton and have a lot go to waste, I would imagine.
Right.
Yeah, are you definitely sold on the skillets?
Yes, I am. Yep.
You going with the carnivore?
Always. Yeah. Well, since they brought it out. Yeah.
Yeah.
Since they brought it out.
It's good. Especially, I mean,
I think that's the one with the brisket on it.
The brisket was very good on there. Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. So I'm looking forward to that. And then we have a dining reservation at dinner for Boathouse that last night as well.
So you like Boathouse? That's another one of your classics that you always go to?
Yeah. I've never had anything bad at Boathouse.
I only went the one time and ate at the bar. That bar there that's out on the water is fantastic. Yeah. But,
Now, you that a burger. Seafood guy, or do you just stick with the land?
No, I'm a land guy.
That's it.
The filet's good there.
Yeah,
filet's really good. The secret on the menu is the filet sliders, in my opinion.
I've heard that before.
Yeah, that's what I've heard, too.
If you see them on the menu when you're scrolling down. But I think it's only like $18 or something like that, and you get
three of them, right?
Yeah, and it almost is like an 8-ounce filet when it's cut up.
Hold on, see this, Bill?
There it is. Two sliders.
Grilled mahi tacos.
Grilled mahi tacos.
So where are these sliders? Filet mignon slider. Two sliders, $14. Served with the, but that's still for $14. Almost right. Get that as an appetizer if you want.
Yeah, you could have one apiece. Yeah, absolutely. Filet
sliders, split that, a little bit of French fries, and then you get like a.
And they give you a bunch of fries too.
Their fries are good. I had them upgrade to the truffle fries when I went, and that was a good move. I love truffle fries.
But so yeah, that's one of our go-to places.
Good stuff there. I'd like to go there again and have a steak. I mean, the burger was fantastic that I had, that Gibson's Sandwich King burger, but get a steak or a surf and turf or something. Because that's
now, are you a seafood guy?
Oh yeah, we're both. We'll see. I mean, more. I would say I'm more steak than seafood. You're probably more 50-50, even though you love steak, right, Bill?
Yeah. Yeah. If you told me that you'd have to, if I had to give up seafood or steak, I might actually give up steak. And that's messed up because steak is my favorite.
But steak is just steak, and seafood is a lot of different options.
A lot of us, yeah.
That's kind of where you get. But like a surf and turf is perfect, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Get something good like that, but. I mean, even they have lobster bisque on there. I mean, that's just, this menu's messing me up. I can't keep looking at the Boathouse.
Yeah, I've yet to have something that wasn't good.
Now, how about your wife? Does she like seafood or is she the kind
of? She does. She's a big fan of their crab cake.
Okay.
She's a big
fan. That's a perfect place for you guys.
Right. Yeah.
A little bit of everything.
She also used to get the mussels on there, but I think they're off the menu right now. But yeah, she's a big fan of the mussels as well that they had there.
I like mussels. Mussels are good. Nice appetizer. Get the crusty bread, you dip it in the broth and everything. That's
how awesome. About raw oysters?
No.
Really?
I like that. Oh, I love oysters.
Do you?
Yeah. You know what though? I'm a little hesitant to get oysters down because we got oysters in the Outer Banks and I hated them. They were different. They were like very small. And they were very different than like the ones you get up here. The cold water ones are really big with a thick shell. These are almost, I don't know, I didn't like them at all. I had like one of them tapped out. So
because I still, whenever I get them down here, I still get the East Coast, the Wellfleet
or Long Island, whatever. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you get up that way. Those are the best ones. Those are the ones I like. So I'd just be more careful ordering them down there. So as you can tell, we didn't talk much about the parks on this trip preview. It's just
on camera because we're videotaping this now. And by the way, for a plug for our YouTube channel, you can go out and check out our latest episodes of the WDW Beyond the Gates podcast on our channel. But it looks you've been wiping your brow.
Who, me?
Yeah, it looks like. Did you get meat sweats just from reading the menu?
Oh, that's possible. I mean, I do get a little worked up when I see that. Yeah, the meat sweats just from looking at it, that would be pretty good.
That's messed up, isn't it?
I mean, that menu's that's a gentleman's trip contender, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely.
Boathouse, I would say.
I mean, last year it was Manny's, this year with Boathouse.
Oh, I have to tell you a story about Manny's. I somehow, when I got down a YouTube rabbit hole, I was watching this girl cooking from England. She was like, she bought an air fryer, like trying out these air fryer recipes. And she's going through, she's talking about all this stuff. She's British. And she's like, oh, we went to this really great steakhouse. We were in Florida last year. It was the best steak I've ever had. It was called Manny's Chop House. I was like, oh, no. Manny's Chop House. And that place was garbage. It was probably 10 better steakhouses within an 8-iron of that place. But that just goes to show you.
I remember hearing your review on that one.
It was not positive. You can watch our review there? On YouTube.
I have not eaten.
Don't slum on 192 when you go down to Disney, do you?
I do not.
Okay.
There's good Dunkin' Donuts there, though, if you're looking for a nice iced coffee. Good Dunkin' Donuts right next to the giant wizard hat. I recommend that one. Anything else you want to add here, or should we take our second break?
That's all we got. We check out the next morning. Our flight leaves at, I think, 7 a.m. or something like that. So
you're leaving early Monday morning.
Yeah.
So at least you get the full day on Sunday, though. That's
right.
Not too bad.
Yeah.
Can I put you on the spot?
Who, me?
Yes.
Let's do it.
Do you remember how many points Boulder Ridge is?
I think it was 17 points a night.
17
maybe,
a night?
Maybe 16. And okay. I think it was that much since it was a weekend. I think a weeknight is maybe 14.
Wow.
Is that a lot? I don't know, like, the point.
No, I don't think
that's pretty low for a studio. Yeah, I don't know how that goes.
Because, like, Grand Flow, you're looking at for two nights, like, low mid-50s.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
And what he's saying, it sounds like 28 to 30 for two nights. So, yeah.
Yep.
Even now, has the point structure changed with COVID? Like, do you get stuff for less points now?
No, it's still this. It's still the same. They can't.
Yeah.
Can't really Florida real estate law.
Yeah.
Says that if this room costs, say it's 2,000 points for the year, it can always only cost 2,000 points for the
year. Can't go up, can't go down. That's why you know the whole year's point breakdown as soon as they release it.
And so they could change it and say, like, well, they're more expensive in March, but that means in October it's got to be lower.
Has to be
cheaper, type of thing. So
no breaks on those for you,
right?
During this.
Right.
Just use it or lose it, like you said. But now, for people like Mike that
can, if you're renting,
go on the resale renting points, you can really find some good deals right now.
Yeah, there's a lot of good deals, especially at the theme parks right now, too. Mm. If you're looking to go for a weekend or something like that. I mean, really good deals.
Now, are you limited to the number of days that you can go to the parks, or is it unlimited?
No, so we're annual pass holders, but as long as you have a resort reservation, you can go length of stay. And then after that, I think annual pass gets 3 days or something.
Yeah, I think you got to use up your three and then do another three.
And I think right now they're booked like through the end of October or at the end of August. I think starts opening.
Yeah, September back up opens September. Up.
Yeah.
Oh, so you can't say you want to go 4 different days as an AP, Mike.
Right now, I can't unless so I'm
could
staying.
Just say, you could say 3 days,
and then once I use up my three.
Then you can.
I would assume maybe if once I use my first, then I can get my
kind of like a fast pass.
Then. Always have three, yeah, I guess.
I see what you're saying. All right.
Yeah, and unfortunately, you can't go to Hollywood Studios either and check out Star Wars since you're
going
go
in
there.
September.
Are you going to Hollywood Studios?
Yeah, I got like September 15th. I grabbed like a month or so ago. So yeah, I'm going. It's like on a Monday or Tuesday. I'm going to try to do that Star Wars thing.
Yeah,
you got. We're going to have you back on for a review.
Yeah, in a couple weeks.
Because I'd be interested on how that whole Star Wars thing went as far as
supposedly
the booking. And
they're gone in like 15 seconds or something like that. So I'm going to be sitting there.
How did they do? Like, when they had 100% capacity, they didn't run out. That's
no, like, but you had to be there like at rope drop.
Yeah.
Oh, I know, but is there less capacity on the ride now? You'd think like...
If they're 25% capacity, that they should be able to get some people through.
I think they only put like one family on a car per trip. So
capacity on the ride itself, obviously.
Right. So if you're there by yourself, you're the only one on the car, I think.
Oh, okay. So that definitely makes sense then. All right. Well, with that being said, we'll hop into our second break here and we'll come back and wrap everything up.
That sounds great, Gary.
All right, we are back from break abruptly again. I got to work on the fade out on these live streams, but you just got through listening to episode number 337 of the WDW Beyond the Gates podcast with Mike and Gary, joined this week by Zach from Ohio doing his trip preview going down this weekend to Walt Disney World, staying Caribbean Beach and Wilderness Lodge, split stay, hitting up Epcot, Magic Kingdom, and Hollywood Studios, and some good restaurants. Any final thoughts, Bill? I know you kind of sprung that point. You love talking DVC. I mean, you want to do a whole series of episodes.
All the time. Absolutely. Yeah.
So Zach may become a regular now that we have this this technology, because he's got the knowledge. He goes down all the time. He's got the DVC. So we're going to get some, we're going to squeeze some information out of it.
Are you a DVC guy, Billy?
I don't really care. I mean, I've been tempted to do the rentals, but I don't have any desire to own.
You should take a look on your next trip. Not owning, but renting.
Yeah, maybe. It's just, it still hasn't been, like, price point wise, good enough where I take the plunge. Just, I don't know. Maybe next time with the girls, next time we go. Actually, next time we go, we'll probably rent a house, because I think we're doing a big trip. Get a Airbnb kind of thing.
What's this big trip? I haven't been notified. Does that mean that I'm not?
Didn't make the cut.
You'll make the cut. It's going to be, if I don't know, it's supposed to be next year during the 50th at some point, and we were going to do like both like Sarah's family, my family, all the kids. So it was going to be like 15 or 18 people in a house, one of those like 9-bedroom monstrosities they have.
Oh, you know what would be sweet? We could just rent a whole street.
The whole condo complex?
Yeah.
Get everybody going. That's what the gentleman's trip's going to end up being.
Wow, we got two foursomes now. We got one person sign up to be the other cameraman.
Two cameramen. Yeah, this is good. I know Zach's in for the gentleman's trip. We'll get him there. Could be a four caddy or something.
Your daughter will be like one plus. She could probably caddy for one of us. I don't know if she could do doubles, but she could caddy for one person.
I've been trying to get her out on the course.
Yeah, there you go. I don't have anything else to really add here. You have anything that we forgot, Zach? Is there anything you want to add in particular?
No, I guess a little off topic. I do want to take a second and thank you guys for donating to my daughter's cause that we have going for the Walk for Babies up here in Akron, Ohio, at Akron Children's Hospital. So I do want to thank you both for that.
No problem at all.
Really, you want to give that information out?
Yeah, you can.
To our vast audience?
Yeah, so for those of you who don't know, my daughter was born back in January. She came out pretty sick and spent the first few weeks in the NICU at Akron Children's Hospital. So we're currently, we started a fundraiser. Well, we didn't start a fundraiser. We're participating in a fundraiser for the NICU at Akron Children's Hospital to raise money for their unit. So if you want to take a look at that, if you find my personal Facebook page, I have a link there to give back to them. So,
yeah, it's a great cause, and obviously one close to you. And you know, you've always been a huge supporter. I still remember the picture you sent to us. You know, the first time you held your daughter, you were wearing our shirt. Yeah. So,
right, what are the chances of that?
Yeah, that was fantastic. So, yeah, no, that's definitely something that go find Zach TILVES. Is that right?
Yep.
Find him on Facebook, and you can find the link there on his Facebook page.
Now, if you get friend requests from a bunch of wackos, we cannot be held liable, right?
Whatever.
Our lawyers are going to make you sign a.
Yeah, exactly.
Who's this creep?
Yeah,
Michael Baronche.
All right. Well, you know where to find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at WDWBTG. Our website is WDWBTG.com. Our YouTube channel is YouTube.com. And you search for WDW Beyond the Gates, iTunes, Stitcher, Google Podcasts. Tune in, find us there, leave us reviews, subscribe, do all that good stuff. What else? You can email us info@WDWBTG.com, Mike@WDWBTG.com, and Gary@WDWBTG.com. I don't have anything else. You guys have anything else you want to add here?
I was going to just do me a favor now that we're recording these and throwing them on YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
If I go to pick my nose, will you stop me before I get knuckle deep?
I'll try to remember.
All right.
I'll try. What do you want me to do? Like just wave my arms or something?
Yeah.
All right, that's
you might be able to get a little pop-up to put a big red X over his face.
Yeah, I could do that. I could take him off. I can kick him off the stream for a minute.
That's true. You could.
All right. Well, that's going to do it for episode number 337 of the WDW Beyond the Gates podcast with Mike and Gary. Thank you to our guest, Zach, out of Ohio, for the trip preview. Until next time, we will talk to you all again next week.
Now it's time to say goodbye to all our company. M-I-C.
See you real soon.
K-E-Y.
Why? Because we like you.
M-O-U.